Plays. The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays, a series of famous plays selected to show the development of drama from the sunrise performances in ancient Athens down to the contemporary theater. We're privileged to have with us as commentator on this series a distinguished American dramatic critic and editor of the best plays of the year, Mr. Burns Mantle. He will introduce today's production of The Tragedy of Julius Caesar. Mr. Burns Mantle.
Again, greetings, fellow playgoers. We come now to the second of the plays chosen to represent the myriad-minded Shakespeare in this list of great dramas. Julius Caesar has long been a popular classroom study. Of late years, however, there have been few opportunities of seeing the play in actual and competent performance. Now these wonder workers of the radio are adding their impressive bit to a new interest in the acted classics. With them you will see today in your mind's eye and hear clearly spoken the better part of Julius Caesar. There is, particularly through the opening scenes of this tragedy, as fine and as cohesive drama as any Shakespeare wrote. According to the diary of one T. Plotter, Julius Caesar was first played at the Globe Theatre in London, September 21, 1599. 7 days later, Robert Devereux, Earl of Essex, was ejected from the chambers of Queen Elizabeth after having unexpectedly returned from his defeat at the head of the Queen's armies in Ireland. The Essex uprising followed. Some authorities at least, have linked Shakespeare's writing of Julius Caesar with his idolatrous worship of Essex. They believe he may have hoped to emphasize the evil effects of civil war. Shakespeare was approximately 35 when he wrote Julius Caesar. He had had 9 years' experience as dramatist and showman. This training had reasonably developed a surpassing facility in writing and had whetted the keenness of his feeling for drama. He now knew his theater thoroughly, and he had expanded his knowledge of plot sources prodigiously. He lifted the story of Julius Caesar almost wholly and quite shamelessly from the Plutarch biographies. But he clothed these bare bones of plot with such beauty of language and read into his script such force of rhythmic eloquence as no other dramatic poet has equaled. There have been many notable revivals of Julius Caesar. It is definitely an actor's play on the stage and a man's play in the audience. Most of the great actors have elected to play the noble Brutus. Some have insisted the play should have been called Brutus instead of Julius Caesar. Some few stars have chosen the showier but less sympathetic role of Antony. Our most recent revival was that staged in New York a year ago by Orson Welles in the Mercury Theater. This was done in a skeletonized version in modern clothes. Very interesting, but I protest not Shakespeare. Yet Julius Caesar is vitally and universally true to a history that is forever repeating itself in the emotions of men. Therefore, Mr. Welles' revival proved an exciting experience. Director Edwin Wolfe begins his adaptation with a scene in which the great Caesar, on his way to the game celebrating the Lupercalian holiday, is halted by the ominous cry of a soothsayer, one of the cheering crowd lining the street through which his procession is passing. It is a day of brilliant sunshine. Caesar has recently returned from the war as a hero and is not above basking a little deliberately in the people's adulation. We could, if we wished, see this procession as it wound across the stage of the old Globe Theater in London. I think it were better for us to go all the way back to the streets of Rome. These we find gay with bunting, alive with crowds, noisy with the cheering of the people. The procession is approaching.
Italy in the year 44 B.C., a day in February. The people in the streets celebrating the feast of the Lupercalia.
Thank you. it in the press that calls on me. I hear a tongue shriller than all the music cry, Caesar! Speak! Caesar is turned to hear.
Beware the Ides of March!
What man is that?
A soothsayer. Bid you beware the Ides of March.
Set him before me. Let me see his face.
Herald, come from the throng. Look upon Caesar.
What sayest thou to me now? Speak once again.
Beware the Ides of March.
He is a dreamer. Let us leave him. Pass.
Go see the order of the course?
Not I.
I pray you do.
I am not gamesome. I do lack some part of that quick spirit that is in Antony. Let me not Cassius your desires hinder. I leave you.
Brutus, I do observe you now of late. I have not from your eyes that gentleness and show of love as I was wont to have. You bear too stubborn and too strange a hand over your friend that loves you.
Cassius, be not deceived. If I have veiled my look, I turn the trouble of my countenance merely upon myself. But let not therefore my good friends be grieved, among which number, Cassius, be you one. Nor construe any further my neglect than that poor Brutus, with himself at war, forgets the shows of love to other men.
Tell me, good Brutus, can you see your face?
No, Cassius, for the eye sees not itself, but by reflection, by some other thing.
I have heard where many of the best respect in Rome, except immortal Caesar, speaking of Brutus and groaning underneath this age's yoke, have wished that noble Brutus had his eyes.
Into what dangers would you lead me, Cassius? That you would have me seek into myself for that which is not in me? What means that shouting? I do fear the people choose Caesar for their king.
I do, you fear it? Then must I think you would not have it so?
I would not, Cassius. Yet I love him well. What is it that you would impart to me? If it be aught toward the general good, set honor in one eye and death in the other, and I will look on both indifferently. For let the gods so speed me, as I love the name of honor more than I fear death.
Well, honor is the subject of my story. I cannot tell what you or other men think of this life, but for my single self I had as leave not be as live to be in awe of such a thing as I myself. I was born free as Caesar, so were you. We both have fed as well, and we can both endure the winter's cold as well as he. For once, upon a raw and gusty day, the troubled Tiber chafing with her shores, Caesar said to me, "Darest thou, Cassius, now leap in with me into this angry flood and swim to yonder point?" Upon the word, accoutred as I was, I plunged in and bade him follow. So indeed he did. But ere we could arrive at the point proposed, Caesar cried, "Help me, Cassius, or I sink!" Ye gods, it doth amaze me. A man of such a feeble temper should so get the start of the majestic world and bear the palm alone.
Another general shout. I do believe that these applauses are for some new honors that are heaped on Caesar.
Why, man, he doth bestride the narrow world like a colossus. And we petty men walk under his huge legs and peep about to find ourselves dishonorable graves. Men at some time are masters of their fates. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves that we are underlings. Age, thou art shamed. Rome, thou hast lost the breed of noble bloods. There was a Brutus once that would have brooked the eternal devil to keep his state in Rome as easily as a king.
What you have said, I will consider. What you have to say, I will with patience hear, and find a time both meet to hear and answer such high things. Till then, my noble friend, chew upon this. Brutus had rather be a villager than to repute himself a son of Rome. Under these hard conditions, as this time is like to lay upon us.
Now, I am glad that my weak words have struck but thus much show of fire from Brutus.
James has gone and Caesar's returning.
As they pass by, pluck Casca by the sleeve. And he will, after his sour fashion, tell you what hath proceeded worthy note today.
I will do so. But look you, Cassius, the angry spot that glow on Caesar's brow, and all the rest look like a chidden train.
Casca will tell us what the matter is.
Antonius.
Caesar.
Let me have men about me that are fat, sleek-headed men, and such a sleep o' nights. Yon Cassius has a lean and hungry look. He thinks too much. Such men are dangerous.
Fear him not, Caesar. He's not dangerous. He's a noble Roman and well given.
Would he were fatter. But I fear him not. Yet if my name were liable to fear, I do not know the man I should avoid. So soon as that spare Cassius. Such men as he be never at heart's ease, whiles they behold a greater than themselves. And therefore are they very dangerous. Come into my right hand, for this ear is deaf. And tell me truly what thou thinkst of him.
You pulled me by the cloak. Would you speak with me?
Aye, Casca. Tell us what hath chanced today that Caesar looks so sad.
Why, you were with him, were you not?
I would not then ask Casca what hath chanced.
Why, there was a crown offered him. And being offered him, he put it by with the back of his hand, thus. And then the people fell a-shouting.
Tell us the manner of it, gentle Casca.
I saw Mark Antony offer him a crown. Yet 'twas not a crown, neither. 'Twas one of these coronets. And as I told you, he put it by once. But for all that, to my thinking, he would fain have had it. Then he offered it to him again. Then he put it by again. And then he offered it the third time. He put it the third time by.
Was the crown offered him thrice?
Aye, Mary, was't. And still as he refused it, the rabblemen shouted and clapped their chopped hands and threw up their sweaty nightcaps, and uttered such a deal of stinking breath because Caesar refused the crown that it had almost choked Caesar. For he swooned and fell down at
it. But soft, I pray you, what, did Caesar swoon?
He fell down in the marketplace and foamed at mouth and was speechless.
'Tis very like. He hath the falling sickness.
No, Caesar hath it not, but you and I and honest Casca, we have the falling sickness.
I know well, not what you mean by that. But I am sure Caesar fell down.
And after that, he came thus sad away.
Aye.
Will you dine with me tomorrow?
Aye, if I be alive and your mind hold and your dinner worth the eating.
Good. I will expect you.
Do so. Farewell, both.
What a blunt fellow is this grown to be. He was quick metal when he went to school. Tomorrow, if you please to speak with me, I will come home to you. Or if you will, come home to me, and I will wait for you.
I will do so. Till then, think of the world. Well, Brutus, thou art noble. Yet I see thy honorable metal may be wrought from that it is disposed. I will this night, in several hands, in at his windows throw, as if they came from several citizens, writings, all tending to the great opinion that Rome holds of his name, wherein, obscurely, Caesar's ambition shall be glanced at.
garden of Marcus Brutus, early morning, the 15th of March in the year 44 B.C.
Called you, my lord?
Get me a taper in my study, Lucius. When it is lighted, come and call me here.
I will, my lord.
Is not tomorrow, boy, the Ides of March?
I know not, sir.
Look in the calendar and bring me word.
I will, sir.
It must be by his death. And for my part, I know no personal cause to spurn at him, but for the general. He would be crowned. How that might change his nature. There's the question. The abuse of greatness is when it disjoins remorse from power. And to speak truth of Caesar, I have not known when his affections swayed more than his reason. But 'tis a common proof that lowliness is young ambition's ladder, whereto the climber upward turns his face. But when he once attains the utmost round, he then unto the ladder turns his back, looks in the clouds, scorning the base degrees by which he did ascend. So Caesar may. Then, lest he may, prevent.
The taper burneth in your closet, sir. Searching the window for a flint, I found this paper thus sealed up. And I'm sure it did not lie there when I went to bed.
Get you to bed again. It is not day. Brutus, thou sleepst. Awake and see thyself. Shall Rome, etc. Speak, strike, redress.
Sir, March has wasted 15 days.
It is good. Go to the gate, somebody knocks. Since Cassius first did whet me against Caesar, I have not slept. Between the acting of a dreadful thing and the first motion, all the interim is like a phantasma or a hideous dream.
Sir, it is your brother Cassius at the door who doth desire to see you.
Is he alone?
No, sir. There are more with him.
Do you know them?
No, sir. Their hats are plucked about their ears and half their faces buried in their cloaks. But by no means may I discover them by any mark of favor.
Let them enter. They are the faction. Oh, conspiracy, shamest thou to show thy dangerous brow by night when evils are most free? Or then by day, where wilt thou find a cavern dark enough to mask thy monstrous visage?
I think we are too bold upon your rest. Good morrow, Brutus. Do we trouble you?
Know I these men that come along with you?
Yes, every man of them, and no man here but honors you. This is Trebonius.
He is welcome hither.
This Decius Brutus.
He is welcome too.
This Casca, this Cinna, and this Metellus Cimber.
They are all welcome. Give me your hands all over, one by one.
And let us swear our resolution.
No, not an oath. If not the face of men, the sufferance of our souls, the time's abuse, if these be motives weak, break off the times, and every man hence to his idle bed. So let high-sighted tyranny range on till every man drop by lottery. But if these, as I'm sure they do, bear fire enough to kindle cowards and to steel with valor the melting spirits of women, then, countrymen, what need we any spur but our own cause to prick us to redress? What other bond than secret Romans that have spoke the word and will not palter?
Shall no man else be touched but only Caesar? Decius, well urged. I think it is not meet Mark Antony, so well beloved of Caesar, should outlive Caesar. Let Antony and Caesar fall together.
Our course will seem too bloody, Caius Cassius, to cut the head off and then hack the limbs, like wrath in death and envy afterwards. For Antony is but a limb of Caesar. Let us be sacrificers, but not butchers, Caius. We all stand up against the spirit of Caesar, and in the spirit of men, There is no blood. Oh, that we then could come by Caesar's spirit and not dismember Caesar.
The clock hath stricken three. We leave you, Brutus. And friends, disperse yourselves. But all remember what you have said and show yourselves true Romans.
And so, good morrow to you, everyone. Boy. Lucius. Fast asleep. It is no matter. Enjoy the honey-heavy dew of slumber.
Brutus, my lord.
Portia, what mean you? Wherefore rise you now? It is not for your health thus to commit your weak condition to the raw, cold morning.
You run gently, Brutus, stole from my bed. And yesternight at supper you suddenly arose and walked about, musing and sighing with your arms across. And when I asked you what the matter was, you stared upon me with ungentle looks. Dear my lord, make me acquainted with your cause of grief.
I am not well in health, and that is all.
No, my Brutus. You have some sick offense within your mind, which by the right and virtue of my place I ought to know of. And upon my knees, I charm you by my once commended beauty, by all your vows of love, and that great vow which did incorporate and make us one, that you unfold to me yourself, your heart, why you are heavy, and what men tonight have had resort to you. For here have been some six or seven who did hide their faces, even from darkness.
Kneel not, gentle Portia.
Is it accepted I should know no secrets that appertain to you? Dwell I but in the suburbs of your good pleasure? If it be no more, Portia is Brutus' harlot, not his wife.
You are my true and honorable wife, as dear to me as are the ruddy drops that visit my sad heart.
If this be true, then should I know this secret. I grant I am a woman, but with all a woman that Lord Brutus took to wife. I grant I am a woman, but with all a woman well reputed. Cato's daughter. Think you I am no stronger than my sex, being so fathered and so husbanded? Tell me your counsels. I will not disclose them. I have made strong proof of my constancy, giving myself a voluntary wound here in the thigh. Can I bear that with patience? And not my husband's secret?
Oh, ye gods, render me worthy of this noble wife. Hark, hark, one knocks. Portia, go in a while, and by and by thy bosom shall partake the secrets of my heart. leave me with haste.
Pause briefly for station identification. The Tragedy of Julius Caesar, Act 3. Italy, the 15th of March in the year 44 B.C., Caesar enters the capital. Brutus, Cassius, Metellus Cimber, Decius, and the other conspirators press close to Caesar, for they have determined he shall this day meet his death.
What is now amiss that Caesar and his Senate must redress?
Most high, most mighty, and most puissant Caesar, Metellus Cimber throws before thy seat an humble heart.
I must prevent this, Cimber. Thy brother by decree is banished. If thou dost bend and pray and fawn for him, I spurn thee like a cur out of my way.
Is there no voice more worthy than my own to sound more sweetly in great Caesar's ear for the repealing of my banished brother?
I kiss thy hand, but not in flattery, Caesar, desiring thee that Publius Cimber may have an immediate freedom of repeal.
What? Brutus? Pardon, Caesar. Caesar, pardon. As low as to thy foot doth Cassius fall, to beg enfranchisement for Publius Cimber.
If I could pray to move, prayers would move me. But I am constant as the northern star. The skies are painted with unnumbered sparks. They are all fire, and every one doth shine. But there's but one in all doth hold his place. So in the world, 'tis furnished well with men, and men are flesh and blood and apprehensive. Yet, in the number, I do know but one that unassailable holds on his rank, unshaked of motion. And that I am he, let me a little show it even in this, that I was constant Cimber should be banished, and constant do remain to keep him so.
Oh, Caesar, hence! Wilt thou lift up, Olympus?
Great Caesar!
Dost not Brutus kneel?
Speak hands for me!
If too, Brute, then fall, Caesar!
Common pulpits and cry out, liberty, freedom, and enfranchisement!
People and senators, be not affrighted, cry not, stand still, ambition's debt is paid!
Let us bathe our hands in Caesar's blood up to the elbows and besmear our swords. Then walk we forth even to the marketplace, and waving our red weapons o'er our heads, let's all cry, peace, freedom, and liberty.
Stoop then and wash. How many ages hence shall this our lofty scene be acted over in states unborn and accents yet unknown?
But here comes Antony. Welcome, Mark Antony.
Oh, mighty Caesar. Dost thou lie so low? Are all thy conquests, glories, triumphs, spoils shrunk to this little measure? Fare thee well. I know not, gentlemen, what you intend. Who else must be let blood? Who else is rank? If I myself, there is no hour so fit as Caesar's death's hour. Nor no instrument of half that worth as those your swords, made rich with the most noble blood of all this world.
Oh, Antony, beg not your death of us, though now we must appear bloody and cruel, as by our hands and this our present act you see we do. Yet see you but our hands, and this the bleeding business they have done. Our hearts you see not. To you our swords have leaden points, Mark Antony.
Your voice shall be as strong as any man's in the disposing of new dignities.
Only be patient till we've appeased the multitude beside themselves with fear. And then we will deliver you the cause why I, that did love Caesar when I struck him, have thus proceeded.
I doubt not of your wisdom. Let each man render me his bloody hand. First, Marcus Brutus will I shake with you. Next, Caius Cassius, do I take your hand. Now, Decius Brutus, yours. Now yours, Metellus, yours, sinner. And my valiant Casca, yours. The last, not least in love, yours, good Trebonius. Gentlemen all. Alas, what shall I say? That I did love thee, Caesar? Oh, 'tis true. But had I as many eyes as thou hast wounds, weeping as fast as they stream forth thy blood, it would become me better than to close in terms of friendship with thine enemies.
Will you be pricked in number of our friends? Or shall we yawn and not depend on you?
Therefore I took your hands, was indeed swayed from the point by looking down on Caesar. Friends, I am with you all and love you all upon this hope, that you shall give me reasons why and wherein Caesar was dangerous.
Our reasons are so full of good regard that were you, Antony, the son of Caesar, you should be satisfied.
That's all I seek. And a more ever suitor, that I may produce his body to the marketplace, and in the pulpit, as becomes a friend, speak in the order of his funeral.
You shall, Mark Antony.
Brutus, a word with you. You know not what you do. Do not consent that Antony speak in his funeral. Know you how much the people may be moved by that which he will utter?
What Antony shall speak, I will protest he speaks by leave and by permission, and that we are contented that Caesar shall have all true rites and lawful ceremonies.
I know not what may fall. I like it not.
Mark Antony, here, take you Caesar's body. You shall not, in your funeral speech, blame us, but speak all good you can devise of Caesar, and you shall speak in the same pulpit whereto I am going, after my speech is ended.
Be it so. I do desire no more.
Prepare the body, then, and follow us.
No, pardon me, thou bleeding piece of earth, but I am meek and gentle with these butchers. Woe to the hands that shed this costly blood. Over thy wounds now do I prophesy. A curse shall light upon the limbs of men. Domestic fury and fierce civil strife shall cumber all the parts of Italy. And Caesar's spirit ranging for revenge, the lady by his side, come hot from hell, shall in these confines, with a monarch's voice cry, havoc! And let slip the dogs of war!
To the last. Romans, countrymen, and lovers, hear me for my cause. If there be any in this assembly, any dear friend of Caesar's, to him I say that Brutus' love to Caesar was no less than his. If then that friend demand why Brutus rose against Caesar, this is my answer. Not that I loved Caesar less, but that I loved Rome more. Had you rather Caesar were living and die all slaves than that Caesar were dead and live all free men? As Caesar loved me, I weep for him. And as he was fortunate, I rejoice at it. As he was valiant, I honor him. But as he was ambitious, I slew him. There is tears for his love, joy for his fortune, honor for his valor, and death for his ambition. Who is here so base that would be a bondman? If any speak, for him have I offended. I pause for a reply. Here comes his body, mourned by Mark Antony, who, though he had no hand in his death, shall receive the benefit of his dying, a place in the Commonwealth, as which of you shall not. With this, I depart. But as I slew my best lover for the good of Rome, I have the same dagger for myself, when it shall please my country to need my death.
Bring him to his house!
Countrymen, let me depart alone. And for my sake, stay here with Antony. I do entreat you, not a man depart, save I alone, till Antony has spoken.
Stay ho, and let us hear Mark Antony.
The best between the harm of Brutus here.
Caesar was a tyrant.
Hey, that's it. You're blessed that Rome is
ready. Peace! Peace! Let us hear what Antony has to say.
You. Gentle Roman.
Roman countrymen, lend me your ears. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is often interred with their bones. So let it be with Caesar. The noble Brutus hath told you Caesar was ambitious. If it were so, it was a grievous fault, and grievously hath Caesar answered it. Here, under the leave of Brutus and the rest, for Brutus is an honorable man, so are they all honorable men, am I to speak in Caesar's funeral. He was my friend, faithful and just to me, but Brutus says he was ambitious, and Brutus is an honorable man. When that the poor hath cried, Caesar hath wept, ambition should be made of sterner stuff. You all did see that on the Lupercal I thrice presented him a kingly crown, which he did thrice refuse. Was this ambition? You all did love him once, not without cause. What cause withhold you then to mourn for him? Oh, judgment! Thou art fled to brutish beast, and men have lost their reason. Bear with me. My heart is in the coffin there, with Caesar. And I must pause till it come back to me.
Methinks there is much reason in his sayings.
If you consider rightly of the matter, Caesar hath had great wrong.
Mark ye his words. He would not take the crown, therefore it is certain he was not ambitious.
But yesterday the word of Caesar might have stood against the world. Now lies he there, and none so poor to do him reverence. Oh, masters, if I were disposed to stir your hearts and minds to mutiny and rage, I should do Brutus wrong, and Cassius wrong, who you all know are honorable men. I will not do them wrong. I'd rather choose to wrong the dead, to wrong myself and you, than I will wrong such honorable men. But here's a parchment with the seal of Caesar. I found it in his closet. 'Tis his will. Let but the commons hear this testament, which, pardon me, I do not mean to read. And they would go and kiss dead Caesar's wounds. You are not wood. You are not stones, but men, and being men. Hearing the will of Caesar, it will inflame you. It will make you mad. 'Tis good you know not that you are his heirs, or if you should, oh, what would come of it? I have o'ershot myself to tell you of it. I fear I wrong the honorable men whose daggers have stabbed Caesar. I do fear.
They were traitors, honorable men.
They were villains, murderers. Who will compel me then to read the will? Then make a ring about the corpse of Caesar, and let me show you him that made the will. Shall I descend?
Will you give me leave?
You shall have me.
I stand round. Stand from the horse. Stand from the back.
Stand back.
Rome, stand back. Yes. You have tears. Prepare to shed them now. You all do know this mantle. I remember the first time ever Caesar put it on. Look. In this place ran Cassius' dagger through. See what a rent the envious Casca made. Through this, the well-beloved Brutus stabbed. And as he plucked his cursed steel away, mark how the blood of Caesar followed it. This was the most unkindest cut of all. For when the noble Caesar saw him stab in gratitude, more strong than traitor's arms, quite vanquished him, then burst his mighty heart. Kind souls, what? Weep you when you but behold our Caesar's bestial wounded? Look you here. Here is himself marred, as you see, with traitor.
Oh, hideous spectacle. Oh, noble Caesar. Oh, woeful day.
Will they revenge? Forgotten the will I told you of. Here is the will, and under Caesar's seal. To every Roman citizen he gives, to every several man, 75 drachmas.
75 drachmas.
Moreover, he hath left to all his walks, his private arbors, and newly planted orchards on this side, River Tiber. He hath left them you and to your heirs forever, common pleasures to walk abroad and recreate yourselves. Here was a Caesar. When comes such another?
We'll burn his body in the holy place, and with the brands fire the traitor's houses.
Take up
the money.
Go! Set fire!
Up down, Benjamin! Up down, Paul!
In autumn, 2 years have passed. The armies of Brutus and Cassius are fleeing from Antony.
Stand ho!
Stand ho! Speak the word along.
Stand! Stand!
Most noble brother, you have done me wrong.
Judge me, you gods. Wrong are mine enemies, and if not so, how should I wrong a brother?
Pendulous! Bid our commanders lead their charges off a little from this ground.
Lucius, do you the like? And let no man come to our tent till we've done our conference.
And that you have wronged me doth appear in this. You have condemned and noted Lucius Pella for taking bribes here of the Sardians, wherein my letters, praying on his side because I knew the man, was slighted off.
Let me tell you, Cassius, you yourself are much condemned to have an itching palm to sell and march your officers for gold to undeservers.
Aye, an itching palm? You know that you are Brutus that speaks this. Or by the gods, this speech were else your last.
Go show your slaves how choleric you are, and make the bondmen tremble. By the gods, you shall digest the venom of your spleen, though to split you. For from this day forth, I'll use you for my mirth. Yeah, for my laughter, when you're washed fish.
Do not presume too much upon my love. I may do that I shall be sorry for.
You have done that you should be sorry for. I did send to you for gold to pay my legions, which you denied me.
Was that done by Cassius?
I denied you not.
You did.
I did not. He was but a fool that brought my answer back. Oh, I could weep my spirit from mine eyes. There is my dagger. And here is my naked breast. Strike as thou didst to Caesar. For I know when thou didst hate him worst, thou lovest him better than ever thou lovest Cassius.
Sheathe your dagger. Ah, Cassius, you are yoked with a lamb that carries anger as the flint bears fire. For much enforced shows a hasty spark, and straight is cold again.
Hath Cassius lived to be but mirth and laughter to his Brutus, when grief and blood ill-tempered vexeth him?
When I spoke that, I was ill-tempered too.
Do you confess so much? Give me your hand.
Oh, and my heart too. Oh, Cassius, I am sick of many griefs. Portia is dead.
Portia?
She is dead.
Oh, insupportable and touching loss. Upon what sickness?
Impatience of my absence and grief that young Octavius with Mark Antony have made themselves so strong. For with her death that tidings came. With this she fell distract and her tendons absent, swallowed fire.
And died so?
Even so.
Oh, ye immortal gods.
The deep of night has crept upon our talk. And nature must obey necessity, which we will niggard with a little rest. Is there more to say?
No more. Good night. Early tomorrow will we rise and hence.
Lucius, my gown.
Portia, art thou gone?
No more, I pray you.
Good night, my lord.
Good night, good brother. Give me the gown. Where is thy instrument?
Here in the tent.
Look, Lucius. Here's the book I sought for so. I put it in the pocket of my gown.
I was sure your lordship did not give it me.
Canst thou hold up thy heavy eyes a while and touch thy instrument a strain or two?
I'm a lord, and please you. It does,
my boy. I will not hold thee long. If I do live, I will be good to thee.
With your cause of grief.
This is a sleepy tune. Oh, murderous slumber. Layest thou thy leaden mace upon my boy that plays thee music? Gentle knave, good night. I will not do thee so much wrong to wake thee. Let me see. Is not the leaf turned down where I left reading? Here it is, I think. How ill this taper burns. Who comes here? I think it is the weakness of my eyes that shapes this monstrous apparition. It comes upon me. Anything. Speak to me what thou art.
Thy evil spirit, Brutus.
Why comest thou?
To tell thee thou shalt see me at Philippi.
Well, then, I shall see thee. Again?
Aye, at Philippi.
enough. What news? Titinius is enclosed round about with horsemen. They think to him on the spur. Yep. He spurs on. Now, they are almost on him. He's ten. And hark, they shout for joy. Come down, behold no more. Oh, coward that I am to live so long, to see my best friend ta'en before my face. Come hither, Sirrah. In Parthia did I take thee prisoner, and then I swore thee, saving of thy life, that whatsoever I did bid thee do, thou shouldst attempt it. Come now, keep thine oath. Now be a free man, and with this good sword that ran through Caesar's bowels, search this bosom. Stand not to answer. Here, take thou the hilt, and when my face is covered as 'tis now, guide thou the sword. Caesar, thou art revenged. Even with the sword that killed thee.
Where in the tailor doth his body lie? Oh, Julius Caesar, thou art mighty yet. Thy spirit walks abroad and turns our swords into our own proper entrails. The last of all the Romans, fare thee well. It is impossible that ever Rome should breed thy fellow. Friends, I owe more tears to this dead man than you shall see me pay. I shall find time, Cassius. I shall find time. Of friends, rest on this rock. Come hither, good Volumnius. List a word.
What says my lord?
By this, Volumnius, the ghost of Caesar hath appeared to me two, several times by night, at Sardis once, and this last night here in Philippi Fields. I know my hour is come.
Not so, my lord.
Fly, my lord! There is no tarrying here.
So fare you well at once, for Brutus' tongue hath almost ended his life's history. Night hangs upon my eyes. My bones will rest that have but labored to attain this hour.
Fly, my lord, fly! Fly!
I will follow. I pity Cato. Stay thou by thy lord. Thou art a fellow of a good respect. Thy life hath had some smatch of honor in it. Hold, then, my sword, and turn away thy face while I do run upon it. Wilt thou, Strato?
Give me your hand first. Fare you well, my lord.
Farewell, good Strato.
It too, Brute.
Caesar, now be still. I kill not thee with half so good a will.
Roman of them all. All the conspirators, save only he, did that they did in envy of great Caesar. He only, in a general honest thought,
and common good to all, made one of them. His life was gentle, and the elements so mixed in him that nature might stand up and say to all the world, this was a man.
The Tragedy of Julius Caesar was produced under the direction of Mr. Edwin Wolfe, who also made the adaptation for radio. The commentator was Mr. Burns Mantle, American drama critic. The music was especially arranged for the play and conducted by Mr. Joseph Haunty. The cast in today's performance included Julius Caesar, played by John Anthony, Marcus Brutus, George Gall, Portia, Florence Malone, Mark Antony, Jack Rosely, Cassius, Raymond Bramley, Casca, Kenneth Daniel, Lucius, Arthur Anderson, a soothsayer, Jerry Lesser, Metellus, Floyd Buckley, Pindarus, Wilfred Lytell, the first citizen, Don Costello. The third citizen, John Connery. And the fourth citizen, Walter Vaughn. The Great Play Series is an educational feature of the National Broadcasting Company. Next week at this same hour, Othello by William Shakespeare will be presented. A study manual, Part 1, giving complete background material for the great plays, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 10 cents. It has been prepared by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series. Send coin or money orders to the National Broadcasting Company in care of Great Plays, Radio City, New York. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining great plays of the series. This is William Spargrove speaking. The Tragedy of Julius Caesar was a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.